Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
What up, people? This is Speaking Like You Think It Radio. I'm your host, Nas Know-It-All. And I got a real deep panel here today, man. Got some real experts on sports here, man. Talking about real stuff, man. Not any of that stuff you get from the AJC or whatever else you listen to or read. Got real dudes here talking about real sports, man. We got Naughty Dread in the house. We got Eastside Jam here. We got Craig Barzy. And we also got the newcomer, Mr. James Roberts, Cowboy Fan James. What up, everybody?
What it do?
What's up now?
Ain't shit, man. We got a lot to get into, man. But I guess the biggest thing we got to talk about first, man, is the big trade that went down in the NFL, man. We got to talk about the boy Marshawn Lynch being traded to the Seattle Seahawks.
That's the one you're talking about? That's the big trade?
Nah, I'm bullshit, man.
That helped me out of my fantasy league.
Nah, we got to talk about the real trade, man. The boy, Randy Moss, was traded by the New England Patriots to the Minnesota Vikings to play with one Brett Favre. What's your thoughts on the trade in general and just how New England went about it, man? We knew they wasn't going to pay the man. I just want to get y'all take on everything with this, man. Let me go Naughty first.
Well, we knew they weren't going to pay the man. So they did what was necessary. They traded him. They got a third-round pick for him, which is pretty high. You know, they traded a fourth-round pick for him, so they got a third-round pick in return. And they sent him off to Minnesota to play with Brett Favre, Adrian Peterson. I mean, that he could have got sent to Arizona. So I don't think that New England dealt treacherously with him. Randy Moss knew from the beginning what the situation was. He even said it after the first game. I know what the situation is. So hey, to me, the feeling was mutual, and they just parted ways, and it's good for both sides.
Okay. East Side Jam, ATL's number one fan. Your thoughts on it?
Well, they could have got a third if they would have let him walk. If they would let him finish the season, they're going to get a compensation pick anyway. They're going to get a third round. I just think that New England just going in a new direction, man. And I think Belichick would be a great college coach, man. Georgia need a coach, man. If he come on down, man, and, you know, he get these young guys to play real good. He get young guys, he get them to play hard. You know, he using running backs that don't nobody even know their name. Hey,
he got
that's
juice.
Play he want to
right.
play.
He got major juice. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, well, he's
doing
NFL coach right now.
Hell yeah, I can see that. Barzy, we got a new one in here too.
I think it's a good move for the Patriots, man. I mean, not for the Patriots, but for the Vikings, man. They obviously need wide receivers. Patriots look like they just may have, you know, I question the move, man, because technically they didn't have to do it this year. I don't know how that helps them win this year at all.
Right.
I mean, you look, people give, you know, Welker a lot of credit, but you know, Moss commands a lot of double teams.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe Bill Belichick, man, always thinks he's the smartest guy in the NFL. I know Tom Brady probably didn't enjoy hearing it.
Right.
I know how Tom Brady's numbers went up when Moss showed up. I mean, he had good numbers, but not the numbers like he put up when Moss showed up.
Yeah, so, but he had three Super Bowls before Moss showed up. The one Super Bowl he lost was the one he had with Moss.
Yeah,
I mean, Deion Branch won the Super Bowl MVP. I mean, he was playing for sure.
Numbers
don't win championships. Games win championships. And he won games without Randy Moss.
But he also had
a
top five
team practice.
He also had a top five
practice. Hey, who say they ain't got somebody there? Somebody practicing now. Yeah, I don't know what they got going on, but I know they got three rings without Randy Moss.
And they had top five defenses when they won those Super Bowl rings.
I agree.
What happens now when you don't have a top five defense? What do you need to do? You need to put more points on the board. I don't know how that's going to help them, but obviously Bill Belichick's got a plan. He he's stockpiling draft picks.
Well, I think this move does potentially hurt the Patriots because of that fact you just said about the defense being young. But Belichick knows his team doesn't need anybody. Maybe the defense is getting to a point where it needs to be, or maybe he feels like he can throw Brandon Tate over there and be that deep receiver threat that they need. I don't know what he sees, but I know one thing. Bill Belichick has earned the right to get the benefit of the doubt until it fails. Now, when it fails,
hey, maybe the owner wasn't going to cut the check, period. So, I mean, he had to.
Oh, the owner wasn't cutting the check. He over 30. We're not going to pay him $9, $10 million, and he over 30. No, it ain't happening.
I'm not saying it's a bad decision. I'm just questioning the move right now. If they didn't want to pay the man, he was going to walk after this year anyway. But at least you go out there and for the rest of the season, and you see what you can do.
But Randy Moss want an extension. So if he don't get an extension, then you're going to have a locker room that's going to have a lot of rumblings. We heard about the halftime. He only had one pass thrown to him with the touchdown he dropped in the first half. Then he arguing with the offensive coordinator locker room. The man want an extension.
He want an extension, man. But you should have been up front from the beginning. We're not going to resign you. We want you for this year. Finish out the year.
They had all summer
to do this, if that was the case.
Exactly.
Let's keep it moving, though, because we ain't got everybody speaking yet, man.
Okay, go ahead.
James Roberts, Cowboys fan, James.
I think that Moss, that's a bad move for the Patriots. And I feel like they just basically gave the season away. Tom Brady, he had rings before Moss and stuff, but like I said, they did have a top defense. But you're not going to see Wes Welker with 10, 12 catches anymore every game, 15 catches every game, because now the top cornerback is going to be on Wes Welker.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, he's going to have to start reading defenses again. When Moss was there, he didn't have to read the defense anymore. So now you're going to have to start having to read the defense again. You saw what happened with Dante Culpepper. Everybody thought he was a great quarterback until Moss left, and then we find out he couldn't read defense.
Yeah, Tom Brady was great before Moss.
True, but not like we've seen, though.
He had won 3 Super Bowls without Moss, so he was actually, I could argue that he was better before he got Moss.
No way in hell you make that argument.
Because he got 3 rings before he got Moss.
Vinatieri deserves just as much respect for them rings as he do.
Don't forget about Spygate. That Spygate had to do with some of those 3 Super Bowl rings.
He can say whatever. But I say this. This year you can see you got Kansas City 3-0. You got so many teams 2-2. Like, it's so much parity in the league. Maybe Belichick looking at it like, I can possibly win this thing without Moss. Now let me stack up for this next year and this next year and this next year. Because next year they got 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, 2 third-round picks, and 2 fourth-round picks. They finna stockpile talent in New England. They finna be back on top.
Like, they just got smashed by the Jets 2 weeks ago.
Or they gonna if they draft Mark Ingram next year. we talking about.
But
I mean, it's all
first
good.
So Nadi, they trade down usually. They usually don't take the first rounder.
Well, that's usually. But they traded for Randy Moss. When they traded a fourth round pick for Randy Moss, that was an unusual move. They will do some things that is unusual sometimes. And can you see Mark Ingram playing behind that line with Tom Brady next year?
I would have traded.
Come on, man.
That wouldn't scare me because that's a pass blocking line, not a run blocking line. So that wouldn't scare me if I'm the
man. Mark Ingram can run behind that line.
I'm not saying he can't run behind it, but I just don't think they gonna come in and smash people. But yo, hold on, we got a new caller on the line, man. We got the boy Coltrane from GuardYourGrillBoxing.com out there in Philly. What up, man?
What's good, my dudes? What's happening out there?
Hey, nothing, man. Right now we're talking about the Randy Moss trade, man. We get your thoughts on that, man, before we keep it moving out here.
Oh, I mean, you know, the Patriots doing what the Patriots always do, and that's, you know, getting rid of people when they feel as though they need to get rid of them. You know, they did the same thing with Richard Seymour, Deion Branch, the list goes on. Now, granted, none of them was as a contributor as Randy Moss was. Well, Deion Branch was a Super Bowl MVP, so, but y'all know what I'm getting at. Randy Moss accounted for 52, 53 touchdowns, you know, that Brady had a couple years ago. He just changes the whole dynamic on the football field, and Wes Walker going to see, you know, now that Randy Moss is not there, you know, now they're not going to be in that two deep zone. They're going to crowd that box up, so all that underneath 8-yard hitches and all that stuff they like to do, that's going to get wiped away. But long story short, I think what they did was they realized they wasn't going to get none from Moss. They wasn't going to sign him. That wasn't happening. So I guess this wasn't happening. It just happened overnight. This wasn't something that happened last week. This is something that Randy Moss and his people came at them in the beginning of the season, on the off season, and said, look, I want out, or pay me. They didn't decide to pay him, and they traded him. You know, I think this is something that's been in the works, and the Vikings was the team that happened to bite on it and was able to do it. And, you know, you got what you got now. And I think both parties got what they want. And let's face it, the Patriots have won Super Bowls without a top-tier receiver. Granted, they don't have the defense that they once had, but they doing like they always do, stockpiling draft picks to make other moves. So I think they be all right. You don't win three Super Bowls by not knowing what you're doing, you know. So,
true.
You know, so.
I agree. I would say Spygate had a lot to do with that, but, you know.
Would you say not?
I said some would say Spygate had a lot to do with that, but.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's true, too. But I just think that, you know, you got a lot of parity in the league right now. It ain't like it's dominant teams in the NFL
exactly.
This year. So if this is the year you're going to experiment, then go for it this year. And,
exactly.
they, like I said, they got a boatload of draft picks, so they got some toys they can play with. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out. You know, and Stephen Smith, he's still out there. Vincent Jackson. So who knows? Maybe they're going to get somebody else. It's still early. The deadline ain't passes, so we'll see how it go.
Always remember, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Right.
Yeah, you get away with it is what it is. That's true, man. You can't really knock them for what
exactly.
they did. But
I want my team. That's what I want my team to be doing.
Right.
Get at the Super Bowl.
They got three Super
Bowls.
I would
love
to
be. Go take their practice. I don't care what it takes. We need to win a Super Bowl.
Right,
hey.
Right. The Vikings going for it all, though, you know.
Exactly.
So
yeah,
and you
got
right there to understand.
Hold on. Let's switch gears, though. Let's go to the Vikings side of this. We're talking about you getting a receiver who has been on the two teams who had the highest scoring offenses in NFL history, 98 Vikings, 07 Pats. Only thing they have similar is Randy Moss. Let's talk about how this changes things for one Brett Favre. Maybe he put a little more juice back in his step. Let's swing it back the other way, man. Go Coltrane.
The Vikings, like I said, they got Vasan Shenko. They got my man Sidney Rice. He'll be back. You know, you put him and Moss out there, that's going to spread the hell out of the field. And don't forget about AP in the backfield. I mean, and then you got Favre who loves to just chuck that rock up that, you know, normally probably would be interceptions when he threw them little loop, those ducks he liked to throw up. But with Moss, those are now touchdowns and long gains. And it just opened up rushing lanes for Adrian Peterson. I mean, I don't know. I haven't really watched a lot of Vikings games this year, to be honest. So I don't know how sufficient their defense is. But, man, looking at it on paper, they still got to play the games. I think they are forced to be reckoned with offensively-wise. They got some pieces now. Moss changes everything on your team, man, especially a focus Randy Moss.
I hear that. Okay, let's move it to James, Cowboy James.
I would have to say that the Brett Favre we saw the last 3-4 weeks, I feel like he's going to try to go back to the Brett Favre we saw last year. He's going to be inspired because Randy Moss is playing with him. And if you recall, he wanted Randy Moss when he was in Green Bay, and
yeah.
they had a big blow-up about that. And then next thing you know, Brett Favre getting traded. So I think he'll be and I'm not a Brett Favre fan, but I think he's going to be more reinvigorated to play.
Yeah. I hear that.
Well,
okay. My bad. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Let me introduce myself. I'm the truth. I was actually invited by James, but I'm a big Brett Favre fan. They call me the truth. All right. Okay, I feel that, personally, Minnesota's going to be pretty good. Brett Favre should be re-energized. You got Randy Moss out here. So, I mean, with Randy Moss out there spreading the field, that's going to open up the line for AP. He's not fumbling like he was last year, so let's just real be honest about this. Everyone keeps talking about how Brett Favre lost the game, but he only had about three or four fumbles, including one when he was about to score a touchdown. So I feel like Minnesota is going to be on the right track. I feel like they're going all out. It's going to be the last, the real last we rock. I think this might be Brett's last year. So I think they have a great chance now at advancing themselves in the playoffs and maybe making the probably making the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Cowboys are going, but that's a Mitch person.
Yeah, go ahead. I got mixed up there, dog. Go ahead.
Well, you go ahead. I was just saying the Cowboys are going to win, but go ahead.
Where you at, man?
It's a good move for Brett Favre, man. You know they needed somebody, man. They need somebody who's kind of stretched the field. I don't think Moss has lost much, man. They can't do nothing but help.
I mean, yeah.
For people saying, you know, in one hand, you know, people be saying, you know, what Moss can do, and then you know you can't really. At this point, say that it was good for the Patriots. If you look at what Moss has been over his career, when you lose a player of that caliber, it can't help but make your team a little bit worse or that much worse. So it can't do anything but help. I mean, if he comes in there with the right attitude and he comes to play hard, it can't do nothing but help them, man.
Yeah, I agree on that one. Eastside Jam.
Well, they're going to be dangerous, man. I mean, once you put all that together, man, and everybody get back, once Rice get back, man, they're going to be real dangerous, man. They just one of them teams that's going to be up there, man, in the NFC. So just watch out for them. They're going to be tough.
See, all it took was Randy Moss to come back for people to start believing in Favre again. Everybody's. Y'all pretty high on the Vikings, man. I got to hear Nottie because I know Nottie is usually the consistent opinion.
Exactly.
Nottie, what you think?
And Favre already was that dude. I mean, he just didn't have weapons. I mean, Sidney Rice was hurt. You know, you got the Percy Harvin with the migraine. Bernard Berrien can't play. So, I mean, all he had was Shanko, and then he lost Chester Taylor, so he really don't have a third down back, which they still going to have a problem with because in the red zone, it's going to be, I mean, even though Randy Moss is a great red zone target, you know, and Shanko too, it's going to be hard to throw touchdowns all the time. You need somebody who can pound it in, and Adrian Peterson hasn't proven that he's great in the red zone. That's where I want to see him develop and become, because last year, Chester Taylor, without him, I mean, they don't even get to the NFC Championship. So, I mean, their defense is solid. I'm not worried about that. Brett Favre is solid. Sidney Rice going to come back. Randy Moss, they're going to stretch the field. Adrian Peterson going to have a lot of 60-yard runs for touchdowns, a lot of 40-yard runs for touchdowns. So they're going to be all right. I mean, they're a contender again. And for the Patriots, I mean, when you lose somebody like Randy Moss, a weapon like that, I mean, it's always going to hurt the team. But they've proven that if they got to win, if it got to be a little tougher for them to win it, they're capable. You know, they're still capable of competing without Randy Moss. But it's just not going to be as easy. Tom Brady is going to have the quarterback more now. But the years where he quarterback, they won a Super Bowl. So maybe this is good for Tom Brady and the Patriots at the same time. So I think that puts Minnesota, Green Bay, and New Orleans at the top of the NFC now.
Yeah. I know you wasn't a big fan of Peterson last year. So I see he still hasn't swayed you yet.
You know something?
Yeah.
I gotta say though,
with that Wes Welker thing, are we gonna see him get Jordan Shipley, like my man caught the other day in the end zone? Carson Palmer.
Wes Welker was good before he got New England. He was good in Miami.
He wasn't that Wes Welker. They would have traded him with Miami. Go look at the numbers when he was with Miami. Go look at the numbers when he got the green.
Things opened up. Things opened up for him a little bit. I mean,
Randy Moss. Randy, man, if we play with Randy Moss, we could go catch some passes.
Look, it's real funny. It's how last year people you know, gave Brett Favre all that credit for making, you know, making Sidney Rice look good, making everybody look good.
Oh yeah, he did.
You know what I mean? You take a look at it this year. If Sidney Rice was really that bad, like people saying, and Brett Favre made him better, you know, shouldn't Brett Favre be able to do a little bit?
Nah, because Brett Favre knows the system. At least Sidney Rice knew the system. Now you got a bunch of guys coming off the street who ain't ran routes in 2 years. Like,
but
he
wasn't
got
that good either.
The NFL defense is this is the best it's gonna get. Like, so if you only got one target that you can go to with DeSanko, you don't really know about Percy Harvin. He iffy. Like, it's easy for even a average defense to key in and stop you. You got to have weapons. I don't care who you are. You got to have somebody.
But
and now he's going to have
Rice.
Somebody.
Sidney Rice wasn't a weapon until Brett Favre got down there and started throwing passes. Then people gave Favre all the credit. But when Sidney Rice taken out of the equation, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, hey, he needs Sidney Rice back. Well,
I mean,
Sidney Rice really that good? Was Sidney Rice
did,
really
like.
That good, or was Brett Favre? Was Brett Favre the reason behind?
Well, Sidney Rice, he was good. He young, he good, he fast, and
nobody gave Sidney Rice that credit last year.
But Sidney Rice was in training camp. He was in OTA. He knows the book, the playbook. He knows the routes to run. Now, when you get somebody like Hank Basket coming in on the street, he's supposedly been in all these West Coast offense, but now he got to get reacclimated to the system. Plus, he old. He done lost 2-3 steps. You can't expect Brett. I don't care who you are. You can't expect Brett Favre to win with these guys.
Yeah. I don't want to put too much on Favre because I'm not a Favre fan, so I don't want to put too much on him and get to the point of hating. But let's keep it moving, though, man, because we got to talk about the boy MV, man. Messed up my whole Sunday, man, watching football to see the boy MV get hurt, going for the end zone on the one-yard line, got smashed on. And then we seen Cole come in and he turned in to check down Charlie, man. All he did was throw to the fullback all game. What's it looking like for the Eagles, man? Is Vic's job secure when he comes back? Do you see Cole doing anything? Just your whole idea of what happened this weekend, man. Back to the first rotation, man.
Well, you know, the Eagles, that's my team. And, you know, our coach Andy Reid have come out and said that it's Vic's job. When he's healthy, he's back to starter. So we good, though, you know. I'm comfortable. But now we got 2 games. If Vic misses 2 games, it'll be San Francisco and Atlanta, which I don't know if we can win with Cobb. Now, it's possible we can beat San Francisco. It's possible if he plays well, we could beat Atlanta, because Atlanta, they've really been inconsistent. You know, they won a couple games, but they could have lost. And so it's like, you know, we iffy right now. I think with Mike Vick, we're up there with Minnesota, Green Bay, and New Orleans as a contender for the whole thing. Without Mike Vick, we're amongst those other teams that we might can do something, but it's going to be week to week. Our offensive line is horrible. Our defense is young, and they fast, but they're not controlled yet. They're not, you know, they don't play with under any kind of discipline yet. So, I mean, we're going to be hurting with Mike Vick, but he's going to have his starting job when he get back. And let's call it win both these games, and he throws 10 touchdowns.
Damn, shit, 10 on the man. Eastside.
Yeah, man, I took my whole Sunday. Well, I didn't take my whole Sunday. My Falcons won at the last second, like they did in the past week. And then, you know, the big game was got to come on, you know, McNabb versus Vic, and Vic went down early, and it was just like the party was over. The whole weekend, I mean, that was it. The night game was horrible. It blew the Sunday, man. I mean, we wanted to see Vic, man. Everybody wanted to see what Vic doing, man. Vic back. He doing some of the old stuff, man. He just need to learn how to slide, man. Still need to learn how to slide.
True. I second you on that one.
I don't know, man. I think he did what he supposed to do.
I mean, you can't go for it. I understand that.
Exactly.
You gotta start sliding, man. I mean, you still missing games because you're getting banged up. You know, you're a quarterback.
I mean,
you got to be in there, man. You got to be in there.
We've seen quarterbacks slide and be out for the season. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's just one of those things that he just got, like you said, he never been hit like that before. He got hit, and he out. You know, it happens. But, I mean, like I said, I've seen quarterbacks slide. Trent Green is, for example, sliding. He's out. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's not the kind of player Mike Vick is. Mike Vick is a playmaker. He's a weapon, and he has to play that way. When he turns into just a straight quarter pocket passing quarterback, then that's when he's ready to be a backup in this league.
I ain't saying be a pocket passer.
Yeah, I'm just saying get down.
Given.
You know, that's all. I ain't saying that.
I mean, once you make the first dude miss, I mean,
and
when you start running,
to new 20.
He
you
juke two dudes. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't slide now. You just juke two dudes. You gotta go for gold. You know what I'm saying? You can't slide out. You just juke unless you just gonna slide before you juke the first dude.
Well, you see how much you mean to the team now. You see how much you mean. Now, man, next time, get down. That's all I'm saying.
I mean,
how much you mean to your team. You just said it. If Carl don't play above his out his mind the next 2 weeks, it's pretty much a wrap.
He doesn't have to play out of his mind to win games. He has to play out of his mind to win the job. He has to throw 10 touchdowns to win the job. We could beat San Francisco and Atlanta without Kevin Carl playing great. He just can't play. He can't play sorry. He can't play like
can't
the first half of Green Bay. Atlanta and San Francisco ain't that good.
Well,
neither of those teams are good.
I can't
that good either.
Hold on, let's keep it moving. Man. We gotta get everybody speaking on this, man. Barzy.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yo, Barzy, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here, man. I forgot what we were then talking about.
Oh, look at this dude. You're on Bleacher Report, ain't you? No, we talking about Vic, man.
Hey, man, Vic, man. It'd be taking so long to come around to me, man. I'll be looking at stuff on the page, man. Yeah, man, it was a fluke, man. That injury, man, it was kind of fluky. I believe if I'm right, man, it was a false start too, right? It was a false start.
It was a holding call.
Ah, damn. Well, yeah, man, it was kind of fluke, man. Because if you look at it, man, if Vic dives that little half a second, man, he kind of avoids that hit. I don't know, man. It was a weird hit, man. But yeah, that definitely made that matchup. That made that matchup, man. Just after he went out of the game, man, took the whole air out of it, man. I didn't even want to watch the rest of the game. But I mean, Vic is a big part of what they're gonna need. What they're gonna do this year. Philly doesn't really have that. I don't think Cobb can cut it, man. I don't think. Just looking at his demeanor out there on the field when he played, even in that first game, man, it just don't look like. It doesn't look like he's ready to be the man. I just don't see that from him, man. Maybe he can come out there this week. San Francisco is probably gonna have a tough defense for him, but maybe he can come out this week and maybe try and redeem himself. But it didn't look like too much of it was there with Cobb. And from what I saw with Vic, I watched both of the games, man. I got the packs and I watched both of the games. Vic was performing, man. Vic was playing the best I've ever seen him play. I know that's what people said, been saying a lot, but he definitely improved, man. It looks like he's taking some coaching to heart, and he was back there making two and three reads. You never saw that with the Falcons, man. It was one read, and probably he's breaking the containment, and that was it. But you could see definitely the coaching is coming into play, and he's got a big arm, man, and those receivers can get downfield, and it looks like that's what Philly wants to do, man, have big plays come out of the passing game. And that's, if Cobb can't push the ball down the field, he's not the guy. It's going to have to be Vic. You know, I don't think his job is in jeopardy at all for the rest of this year.
I hear you, man. Yo, everybody speaking like you think it's still, man. Don't switch up nothing. But just, everybody keep it brief, though, man, so we can get everybody in. So we got a lot of folks in here, man. Cowboy fan James?
Well, when Vic went out, it took the steam out the game. But at the same time, I felt like it was kind of like karma for what they did to Donovan McNabb and how he carried the franchise the 11 years he was there with no wide receivers, no running backs, no nothing. And then when they finally get them weapons, then they get up. Then they go ahead and trade him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it – He'll be back, and I think Dennis Green said it best. He is who we think he is. And he's showing it. Yeah, Cole. He's showing it. So we hopefully this matchup, I think this matchup is going to be on TV, Alex Smith against Kevin Cole. That's like real awe-inspiring.
God damn, that's ugly.
I'm like, oh man, yeah. This, and I think we have to see it. Unless you have a package, then you don't have to look at that. But I mean, that makes me want to.
Oh, that's
wake
the Sunday
up.
Night game. You got to see it anyway. That's the only game gonna be on.
Yeah, I'm like real inspired to go see this game on Sunday night. Alex Smith against Kevin Cole. I mean,
two backups.
I mean, so
yeah,
I would have to say that. I'm glad. Hopefully, Vic will be back soon. I'm just not with Kevin Cole. Philadelphia Eagles will not make the playoffs. Even have a chance. They'll be playing for another quarterback next year.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Coltrane, you still on the line? I got disconnected. All right, Truth, you still here?
Yes, the Truth is still in the house here. Okay, well, I think about I'm glad to see Mike Vick doing his thing out there representing. But if we go back into history, it goes back to when Atlanta played Philadelphia in the playoff, when Mike Vick got hit at the goal line by Philadelphia. He still has to learn how to slide, and I had to disagree. If you can slide, it's a lot of people who are sustained by a slide. The guy Cobb, I must agree, he is not ready. He looks very weak to me, so I'm quite sure it's going to be a very, very unentertaining game this weekend between Cobb and Alex Smith. But I'm picking the 49ers to win that game. I'm going to pick the 49ers. I got to stick behind my man Mike Singletary because I believe if we see another L from him, we'll be talking about him next week, finding another job.
Exactly.
So I don't think he can afford to lose his game, so I'm going with the 49ers. But Mike Vick did look a whole lot better, but he has more focus now. He's been in prison. He's been away from the game. He got an opportunity, and he's shining. I mean, he's actually seems like he's a student of the game. He's making one or two reads. So I look for him to have a pretty productive season. I think they'll make the playoffs if Mike Vick comes back.
Okay. Okay. So everybody's pretty much in agreement, man. People kind of see through that Kevin Cobb smoke screen they threw up all offseason. Everybody thinks Vic's going to do his thing when he comes back. But we're going to stay with the NFL for a minute, man. The only undefeated team left is Kansas City, man. I got to say, Eastside Jam predicted this before the season on the Roundtable show, Naughty Dress video show. It's real. Eastside predicted Kansas City would be the sleeper this year. Right now they're undefeated, so I don't know how long your prediction is going to last. But let me get your thoughts on KC, though, man. Are they for real, or are they going to come back to reality in a little bit? Eastside?
Like I said on the show, I said they were going to be a team to watch out for. I said they are probably going to go 8-8, 7-9, 9-7, somewhere in that range. They are a pretty good football team. They have good young talent, you know what I'm saying, talent that we know about. You know, the Eric Berry, the Javier Arenas, the McCluster, the Jamal Charles. We know about these guys. We know they can compete. So they are a team that, you know, if they get coached up, they're going to be pretty good. And that's what all I was saying. They're going to sneak up on some people. And they snuck up on San Diego. And they snuck up on, who was that the last game? San Fran, really, when San Fran was 0-2, supposed to go in there, you know, everybody thought San Fran was going to win their division. And
yeah,
they still do have a chance, to be honest with you. But, you know, you're going in there 0-2 against Kansas City and you get beat up like that, man. I mean, this Kansas City team is just a team you can't take lightly, man. There's nobody, it's not a team on your schedule that you're going to be like, I can just, we got them this week, especially
right.
They're at home.
True that. They handled their biz. Naughty?
Well, Kansas City, you know, they've been winning games mostly by making big plays on special teams. You know, they've been getting a lot of contribution from the guys like the McCluskers and the Arenas. And like you say, Jamal Charles, it's breakout season time, really, for him. So, you know, they still got a few question marks on offense with Matt Castle. You know, he's not really been one of the better quarterbacks of that division, but at the same time, their defense is better than a lot of people are getting credit for. Romeo Crennel has really got those guys moving, and they got talent on defense. So, you know, they're gonna be in the thick of things in the AFC West. I don't know if they're to win, but I do think they are much improved from last year, and they are the team on the rise that from here and beyond, they're going to be the team in the AFC West to contend with. I think San Diego is finally starting to come off their high horse a little bit.
Okay. And Bargy?
It's definitely they're coming down to the pack, man. I don't see them, you know. If you can recall last year, you know, Denver started out undefeated. I think what was like four games.
Yeah, 6-0.
Yeah, man. I still think the Chargers is the best team in that division, and I think they're gonna eventually rise up, man, and probably take it. But I don't see them sustaining this kind of level of play, man. I mean, look at the competition that they've played, man. I mean, you can't really say they played anybody too tough. I mean, it hadn't been really like they went out there and beat some juggernauts. So they definitely, I mean, you look at they played the Browns, the 49ers. I can't remember who they played in week one, man.
They ambushed San Diego.
Yeah, they, you know, even that was a close score, and I doubt that.
Yeah,
at Kansas City, too, which is like a college environment, man. But like you said, keep it short. They're coming back to the pack. I don't see it.
But I will say this, though. There is a lot more parity in the league this year. I mean, there aren't that many big juggernauts. I mean, they can go weeks without really playing somebody who they can't beat. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, this week they got Indianapolis, who they probably will end up losing to. I mean, week to week, teams can get beat. You know, anybody can win, anybody can lose, coming out turnovers and injuries, and those two things that you can't project. So unless they're playing against a Minnesota or against a Green Bay, you know, or Pittsburgh, I mean, they always going to be able to win a game because ain't that many juggernauts in the league. So they're going to be in the thick of things.
Okay. Cowboy James?
My problem with Kansas City is their quarterback, Matt Castle.
Yeah.
The talent they have on defense is real good. And I'm not sold on Matt Castle. I mean, this dude is a career backup since USC, he was a backup.
Yeah.
I mean, he might as well have been the backup to the Stars.
Yeah.
He's the backup behind some starting quarterbacks. So, to me, he's the weakness of the team, and I'm not sure how good Charlie Weiss will be as far as developing him. As you see, Brady Quinn isn't a good example of what he's doing in the league, what Charlie Weiss is bringing to the table. Jimmy Clausen, we're just waiting to see how that's going to happen, what's going on with him. But Kansas City, to me, their main weakness is youth and Matt Castle.
Okay. Yeah, and True?
Okay, I like Matt Castle. Matt Castle's a pretty good quarterback. I think he's getting a bad rap here. I think Kansas City would be okay this year. Haven't had a really good chance to look at him this year, but I like Matt Castle when he was actually in New England, so I can see the talent. I can see that actually they're doing something. So, I mean, I got a feeling they'll be okay. Besides, they've been losing for years. So, right now, I think the whole team, they got youth and the whole state, you know, got Kansas behind them. So, I'm looking forward to make some of a comeback. I can't say they're going to take the division, but the Chargers are not that strong to me. The Chargers are more pretenders than Kansas City. So, Kansas City, I mean, every year San Diego underachieves. So, they'll leave an opening for these guys.
Yeah, that slow start is historically with North Turner out there, so that's definitely something that we're seeing again. And I kind of wanted to move it to that little trade I talked about beforehand. the little Marshawn Lynch thing, just in this sense. How did Seattle get Marshawn Lynch instead of Green Bay or New Orleans, who look like they really need help at running back? I mean, Green Bay seems like a running back away from being a championship contender. So, I don't know. I want to get y'all take on that, though. Let's go the other way, though. Let's go True.
Okay, okay. Well, I'm not really for sure. I'm not really familiar with those players right there. I've seen the trade, but, I mean, I've seen the trade, but I'm kind of unfamiliar on that. Kind of got me on that one.
Oh,
okay. Depends.
It's all good. Cowboy James.
Well, Marshawn Lynch, since Pete Carroll coming to the league, he's been making moves. I mean, he's made a lot of trades. He's acquired a lot of people. And if y'all didn't know, Dwayne Jarrett just got cut from Carolina. So I'm pretty sure he'll wind up in Seattle too. And that was actually a good move for them. And come to find out, Justin Forsett and Marshawn Lynch played together at the University of California.
Yeah.
So it'll probably be a good combo. It's probably a work out as a good combination backfield for them, as well as but I think Green Bay probably dropped the ball on that one, because I've been watching Brandon Jackson and
he ain't no starting running back.
Yeah, it's like they might as well not even have a running back out there.
He ain't no starter, man. Ain't no way, no how.
And they spent a second round draft pick on him too.
Yeah.
Well,
they got on that one.
Yeah.
Margie, your take?
What were you talking about again, man?
Oh, man, hell, man.
I'm just joking, man. Hey, man. Yeah, I think it's a good. I think it's a good move, man. But I do question why nobody else got involved, man, in making that deal. You know, Lynch hadn't been in the league that long. He's still a young player. Should have a lot left in the tank.
Yeah.
I don't think he caught that much abuse. It ain't like he came off a 300 carry season or anything. So I just think he got caught in a numbers game in with Buffalo. And I'm surprised a lot of teams that you know did need some help at running back didn't kind of get in the sweepstakes for him. Not to say that he's a game changer, but he can definitely help a ball club. He runs hard. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. You know he's a good young back. And I'm kind of surprised, especially at Green Bay, not getting involved in that.
Yeah. Okay. Eastside.
Marshawn Lynch, man, he's a good player, man, but he just went to Seattle, man. He is a good back, man. He is, but in Seattle, you're not gonna do. And I can see Marshawn Lynch getting with, like we talk about the Patriots later on in his career, and then probably excelling then. But right now, man, and ain't nothing going right up there in Seattle, man. I mean, they hit or miss. One week they great. Start the season, then you don't even hear about these guys no more, man.
Home.
I mean,
they better at home than they on the road, man. They can't seem to show up when they go on the road.
Right. So you, that's contagious. That's contagious, man. I see him being a good bat. That's just gonna be in the wrong place.
Okay. So you're talking a lot of carries and some wasted years out there in Seattle. Go ahead.
Okay. No, I was just saying, you just might as well Randy Moss it while he out there.
Well, he's a West Coast guy, so I think I think a change of scenery is gonna help him, kind of like Cedric Benson.
Hey, man, he's coming from Buffalo. I mean, for God's sake, there wasn't much going on out there to begin with. I imagine there's probably more nightlife and things to get into, considering he has off the field problems. You know, a few off the field incidents. I mean, he's coming from Buffalo. I'm pretty sure that Seattle nightlife is probably a hell of a lot better than Buffalo.
The hell, do you want him in the nightlife?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. if he...
Well, you remember the Seattle player that got his head clacked open at a Seattle bar. You remember that guy?
Yeah.
Cowboy, sir. I believe that was a former Cowboy, wasn't that?
Well, he was... he was a Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
Seattle cut him. And then we picked him up later on for the Lolo. How about that?
Talking about Ken Hamlin, safe former safety, Cowboys and Seahawks. I don't know where he is right now. Nadi, you going to weigh in on this?
Maybe the upgrade for Seattle at running back. I mean, you can't have Julius Jones and they tried T.J. Duckett. They were bringing all kind of guys. They tried. They brought in your boy. They cut him. Who was at USC? What's my guy name? Yeah, Lindell White. He got cut. He tried him. Now with Justin Forsett and his old college roommate Marshawn Lynch, major upgrade in Seattle at running back, and it's gonna help them win games. I mean, I picked San Francisco at the beginning of the season to win that division because it's weak. It's still weak, but Seattle is the best team out of those weak teams in that division. So,
better than San Diego.
What about the first place fight?
It's the NFC.
Oh yeah.
We're talking about Seattle, San Francisco, Arizona, and the Rams.
Yeah, you're right.
So
my bad.
Seattle
Rams
is best.
First place in that division.
But they don't care. They 2-2 just like Seattle. And they got a rookie quarterback and no receivers. I mean, they're gonna come back to life. I mean, back to life, back to reality. I mean, look at it. Washington ain't good, you know, and that's they beat Washington. You know, I mean, it's a lot of bad teams in the league right now. There's so much parity, and Seattle just got better. I mean, they just added a piece. Like, and Green Bay probably didn't add them because of the off-field incident. They probably didn't want to give up where Seattle was willing to give up. Mm. One thing Pete Carroll has showed me, he going to pull the trigger before anybody else pulled the trigger. And he pulled the trigger first, and he got him a running back, a quality running back, who was not happy in Buffalo. He was a starter in Buffalo, but he wasn't happy. He kind of came off the suspension. So, I mean, yeah, I like the move that Seattle made, and they pulled the trigger. So they're going to be better for it. They're probably going to win the division for it. They'll be in the playoffs.
He wasn't happy because he wasn't getting the carries because a lot of guys, they drafted the young guy, C.J. Spiller.
Yeah, but C.J. Spiller ain't getting no run, really. He getting special team work. He had two carries last week. I mean, he's not – Marshawn Lynch and Fred Jackson are still getting the bulk of the carries.
Yeah, Fred Jackson is getting the bulk of the carries. And they trying to work C.J. Spiller into that. And that didn't work into the plans to put Marshawn Lynch.
That's why they drafted C.J. Spiller. They ready to get rid of Lynch. They ready to get rid of him last year. They couldn't
not lie to us. So they were showcasing Lynch.
Yeah, they were showcasing. They ready to get rid of him.
Yeah. So, I mean,
there were so many teams out there who need a running back. Like we talk about New Orleans, Green Bay, Seattle. He was being showcased. Everybody knew he was out there. I mean, it wasn't no secret. He'd been out there since the OTAs. Everybody knew Marshawn Lynch was out there. But Pete Carroll is the only one who got enough nuts to go ahead and take a gamble. You know what I'm saying? He take more risks than I see a lot of people do. You know what I'm saying? And he. Maybe he can afford that luxury because he always know he can go back to college at any time and get $5 million a year.
Oh, true that, all day. I guess we got a couple more in NFL before we move on. I want to talk about the Miami special teams coach, man. After that debacle on Monday night, they let that man go the next day, man. They play no games down there with Parcells and them. I wanted to get your take on that. And have you ever seen – somebody not perform and then get fired that quick, like the next day? And also, Mac Tall will be starting for the Arizona Cardinals this week at quarterback, whatever you want to make of that. I guess we're moving back the other way.
All right. Well, I'm going to first say that C.C. Sabathia just walked the battle with the bases loaded, so it's tied up at 4-4. In the sixth inning, the bases loaded for the Twins. I just wanted to get that in. But,
okay.
Yeah, man. I mean, the Cardinals are horrible. So Max Hall gonna be your quarterback. He might as well be your quarterback. I think I like Max Hall actually. I liked him in BYU when he was putting up numbers. So I mean, if you want to pass the ball, maybe he's a guy. If you put him in there, let him take his lumps now, he might can be somebody down the road. As far as his coach getting fired, that's what he's supposed to get happen. I mean, that's the lead. That's the business. I just seem to have it plenty of time. I seen goddamn a starting quarterback out the lead. You know what I'm saying? In 2 weeks. So I mean, if you don't do your job, I mean, we saw Chan Gailey getting fired last year before a game. You know, before he even the season started. I mean.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is how the business go, man. You don't get the job done, man. You be gone. You give up 3 touchdowns on special teams, yeah, that's your job. Like, he probably got fired that night, and it just took the time to process the paperwork. That didn't come in 3-4 a.m., so he got fired that morning. But he probably really got fired that night. Like, he supposed to have got done. He both got fired.
Yeah, if anybody had to go, he had to go.
He had to go. It's unfortunate, but it is what it is.
Yeah. East side.
Yeah, man, that's your area. That's what you coach, man. I mean, you're a special team coach. I mean, you're not a defensive coordinator slash, you know what I'm saying? You're a special team coach. You're a special team coach. I mean, your special team, they lost the game for you. They lost a division game for you in an embarrassing fashion. Therefore, you have no job, sir.
So, exactly.
So, I mean, seriously, man, that was horrible, man. I mean, you gave up what, 2 touchdowns? And I mean,
they made a star out of Chung.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, they did change up. They way of putting pressure on the kick. They added an 8 man on the line, and they came with Chung, and he blocked a couple kicks. But you gave up a kick return. You know what I'm saying? I mean. Yeah, your team playing horrible. We need to fix this.
Yeah. Barney?
Man, I'm going to say this in his defense, man. I'm not sure how long he was in Miami. But, you know, one game probably doesn't really dictate how good of a coach he is, man. Players got to execute. Now, I don't know what kind of breakdowns that they had. Obviously, they had plenty of breakdowns, especially when the Patriots came with 8 guys on a punt. I mean, you got to make sure that you have the guys on the line. I'm not sure who was out there looking at it or who, you know, on the field. When you're rushing 8 guys and you don't have enough people on 8 to cover 8 coming in, a punt is going to get blocked. That's just how it is.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe they didn't like his in-game coaches, his in-game coaching, his adjustments. There must have been something else to it. It was either a long time coming or it was something else, too, because
yeah.
Like I said, I mean, I just don't think that, you know, if you had him, depending on how long he was there, I don't think you would, you know, you would make that kind of rash decision, you know.
Yeah.
Just
well,
out
he
of
gave up a special team touchdown the week before that, too. So, I mean, this was like over 4 touchdowns given up by his special team in 2 weeks. And you can't have that. And that's both against the business opponents because they played the Jets the week before and then they played the Patriots. So you can't have those kind of mistakes against the division opponent. It cannot happen. And if it's on your watch, then that's just how the league goes. You got to get fired. I mean, like I said, it's unfortunate, but it was on his watch.
Yeah, I mean, it looked justified to me, Cowboy James.
Let me see. That was Monday Night Football, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So you were just embarrassed and humiliated on Monday Night Football where the whole world is watching. You got your punt blocked. You got your field goal blocked. You got a kickoff return for a touchdown. Did they get a punt return for a touchdown too?
No, they get the punt.
That's the whole thing they didn't do. That's the only thing that happened.
Yeah, that's the only thing that did happen.
He almost, what they call that, hitting for the cycle? He almost hit for the cycle.
Right.
So,
did the whole damn thing.
Yeah, he had to go. Your defense gave up 14 points.
Exactly.
Now, that's the meeting I want audio of. I want to hear what the boy Soprano, I'm going to call him Soprano, what he said to him in that meeting, man, after that game. Because I know
he was
nuts on my man.
You fired? That was it. He probably didn't have no meeting. He probably like, you already know. You got the letter. Your letter will be in the mail tomorrow, man. With your last picture.
Did he have the Turk come visit him? Tell him to come to the office. I just want to know how you. Truth?
Well, okay. I wasn't aware of the incident that happened last week, but it was probably one of the worst special team I ever seen in football history. I haven't seen that this bad since Little League football.
That's what it looks like.
And you paying this guy's near, you paying him millions. So I was pretty much sure as the game went off that we wouldn't see him again on the sideline in Miami. I pretty much knew that. I knew it was over for him at the end of the game.
Hangs with you, man. You're now known as the guy who gave up those touchdowns and got fired the next day. On your college interviews or wherever he's going from here on, that's what he's going to be known as. That's his reputation.
He's going to be known as the equipment manager for something for the rest of his career.
And Soprano looked at the quarterback coach and told him, you better tighten up.
You left the house with a job in the NFL and came home the next day and told your wife, I don't have a job.
Right. He told the quarterback coach, too, you better tighten up. You better throw two interceptions to a linebacker there watching you. You better give him a quarterback right, sir.
He's lucky that game was in Miami. He might have had to pay for his
You know Parcells would have made him pay for the ticket, man. You know it, man.
Yeah, he wouldn't have ridden back on the team plane. You had to fly a coach somewhere.
Hell yeah. Let's get into baseball real quick, man, since we got the playoffs going on, man. First thing we got to talk about is the boy Doc Holliday comes out, throws a no-hitter, playoff game. Philly's looking strong. What's my man for the Rangers? He went out there and balled out too. Cliff Lee balled out too. Y'all thoughts on the playoff game? We got one going on right now.
Story of the night, Roy Holliday, man.
What's that?
Story of the night is Roy Holliday, man.
Yeah.
No hitter in his MLB postseason debut.
Wouldn't it get much better than that, man. Wouldn't an excellent storyline be Phillies against Texas Rangers, and you get Holliday against Cliff Lee, who the Phillies got rid of?
Who they could have kept. Right, right.
Who they could have kept. And they would have Holliday and Lee. Oh, man. You're talking about a winner.
Yeah, it'd have been a wrap.
I mean, it's a wrap now.
Now you said it's a wrap. You waving the white flag?
I already said it. I mean, they're healthy, man. They got the squad. I mean, Cliff Lee, he in Texas, that's all they got. Now, it was a very important that Texas won today because they can't afford to lose when Cliff Lee pitched. You know what I'm saying? So, Tampa Bay's still in it. You know what I'm saying? But Philly, like, this just showed their dominance right here today. I mean, this is Cincinnati just pretty much got everybody else in the National League scared. But, like, Philly is a big bully. Philly's a team. You know what I'm saying? So, everybody else pretty much can just bow down. You know, all Philly got to do is not get hurt, and they're going to be in the World Series.
This coming from the Braves fan, man. Damn, I'm surprised to hear you like this, man.
I'm a Braves fan, but I'm a baseball fan first. And I call it how it is, you know what I'm saying? I like the Braves. I'm pulling for the Braves. I hope we can do something. We probably can beat the Giants. But if we got to play the Phillies, the truth is the Phillies got our number. They got everybody's number,
though. They got more number. They got better talent, man. That's what I'm saying.
They got better talent, and they got good coaching, and they got professional ball players, man, who just play the game the right way. They got the best pitching staff in the National League or in the league, period.
Right.
That's both National and American. So, I mean, I'd be surprised if they don't win the whole thing.
On paper, you're right about that, man. They the best team going right now. They got the pitching set up.
On paper. On dirt. Look at the last 2 years.
You still got to go out there and perform, though. You know, they got to play up. They got to play up to the, you know, their career numbers. They got to go out
there. What do they do on the dirt today?
A four-nothing no-hitter, that's performance.
Exactly. That's not paper. That's on dirt.
They got to keep that up. That's what I'm saying.
We're talking about the playoffs.
They got to get that up.
In the playoffs.
No, the second time has been done ever.
Yeah, but they got to keep that up. Series to series, they got to win. They got to win. You know, series to series, they got to keep up that level of play, man. They probably could, afford to have a miscue here and there, but they got to keep that level of play up. They can't
go
out there. No, I'm not saying they're not, but I'm saying they.
I'm saying how are they? Like,
so
I can't even imagine
this
them.
This ain't done deal. This ain't 98 Yankees, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm saying a series to series can change, man. Matchup to matchup, we don't know how they're gonna stack up to them. But on paper, it looks very good for them. On paper,
well,
it looks very good.
What I'm saying is, I watch a lot of baseball, man. This is great. This is one of the best teams I've ever seen. And,
oh, you giving them that? You giving them that respect?
Yeah, this is one of the best teams I've ever seen, even including those Yankee powerhouse teams that I've seen back in the day when they had David Cone and all
those. That bullpen still got question marks.
You're right.
That bullpen still got question marks.
That's the only.
I'm not saying that they on. Like I said, on paper, man, if everybody plays the way they're supposed to play, because they got the talent in the bullpen. They got that guy who come in and shut it down in Lidge. But if Lidge don't perform like Lidge in the past, they're going to have problems. You know what I mean? People got to perform. That's all I'm saying. If they continue to play the way that Lidge has played the last month, closing out ball games, if everybody, Hamill's been pitching great the last month. Roy Halladay going to be Roy Halladay. Oswald, since he came over, has been pitching lights out. I mean, they're getting, Rollins going to be there. I mean, Utley looks like he's coming back into form after coming back off that, off that injury this season. I mean, everything is lining up for them to win it all, man. I mean, that's just how it looks.
Okay. Eastside, you kind of quiet over there, man. I can't believe you were talking on baseball topic.
Nah, man, I was letting everybody get their points out, man. I'm not finna we
you
playing with house money, man. We playing with house money. We in there. That's all that matter, man. We in there. If the Braves can catch the ball, man, if they can put their glove on it and do what they need to do with it when they get it in their glove, they got a chance, man. We played a lot of close games with the Phillies. Not saying that the Phillies not the best team out there. The Phillies have the best 1-9. They have a team, man. They got a leadoff hitter. They got a two-hole hitter. They got a three-hole hitter. They got a four-hole. They all the way down, they got a team you would want if you were putting a team together. They got the team. They got everything you need. They got the guys in the right place. But like I say, the game played on dirt, like you said, and the Braves playing with house money right now. You got guys beat up. You got guys hurt. If they play out their mind, man, let's go for it, man. I'm pulling behind them all the way, man.
That's what's up, man. Eastside said we still got a shot.
You got to pull for the Braves. I mean, I'm definitely pulling with the Braves, but if I had to put my bread on it, I'm going to be smart. I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to put it on the Phillies. And I'm saying, if it was something in the States, I got to put it on the Phillies. But, like, as a fan, I'm pulling for the Braves. We playing with how money. But everybody in the National League playing with how money. They sell for the Phillies. They got to win. They supposed to win. The Giants, they playing with house money. Reds, they playing with house money. Everybody playing with house. And just like I think the American League playoffs is way more intriguing than the National League. Because Minnesota can beat.
Let's get into that then. Let's hear y'all thoughts on the American League.
Well, it's more competitive. You got.
American League wide open, man.
Yeah, the American League wide open. You got a Texas Rangers team who offensively they can hit with the best of them. And you got Cliff Lee at the start of that rotation where he pretty much one hit after the second inning of the day. I mean, he pretty much shut Tampa Bay down. So, I mean, that's not going to be obviously a series where it's going to be a sweep. You got Minnesota who, even though they haven't had good luck against the Yankees in the past few years, and not even this season, they lost the season series, but they got it's just something about Minnesota that you say, with the Yankees, with their whole starting pitching staff, CC Sabathia, they really average. So Minnesota can compete. In the National League, it's like, really, ain't nobody trying to compete with the Phillies, man. In the American League, it's wide open. So it's very intriguing. I've been watching American League games all day. I ain't watching Phillies games. I was hoping Cincinnati, I was going to see the score and Cincinnati was going to win. But I wouldn't know if that game didn't intrigue me. Texas intrigued me. And this Minnesota game against the Yankees, with the Yankees up 6-4 now after home run, this game intrigues me.
Okay. Any other thoughts on the American League? Floor is open.
Nah, the American League, man, I'm telling you, the American League, that's the watch is really –
Philly would be every team in the American League, right?
I think they will, but I think it's some teams in the American League who have a better chance. Like, I think the Yankees have a chance to play against the Phillies. And I think Devil Rays got a chance against the Phillies just about how they – because they kind of play similar to the Phillies. The Phillies just got a little bit more power and probably a better pitching style. But David Price can go up against the best of them. I think Texas would not have a chance against Philadelphia. But I don't think Minnesota will have a real chance. But I think the Yankees and Tampa Bay can play with Philadelphia, but Philadelphia would still be the favorite.
Okay.
Well, I think Philly's playing with a chip on his shoulder. They got swept. As I recall, I think they got swept last year, so I'm quite sure that Philly has a chip on the shoulder. And if they would love to see the Yankees. I mean, I'm a Bravo all the way. I love the Braves. Diehard Braves fan. Hopefully we get past San Fran, but right now Philadelphia's playing on another level. I don't think – matter of fact, they're not going to be a challenge until they get to the World Series. I mean, if the Braves do make it, if we can get one or two games, we've done well. But Philly is strong. I don't see no one playing them in the National League. And the Yankees, they have the mystique. I like the Yankees, but they're kind of suspect. I'm not sure if they can really put it off. Tampa Bay will be a good matchup. But other than that, those other guys, I don't see the other guys going too far. Minnesota can't win one game this series before they bow out against the Yankees. It's just they're already destined for failure. They already know they're going to lose going into the series. It's like mm-hmm. they already hanging their heads already.
Got that middle there, Jordan.
The American League, man, it's really a shame, man, that they actually got to play a five-game division series, man. These games should be seven-game.
I agree.
With the American League, man, those are some real intriguing matchups, man, for real. I mean, the only team that really, like you say, really probably don't have a shot is Minnesota. They don't have their whole full squad. They missing Justin Morneau. They seem like every time they play the Yankees, they don't have him, one or the other. They don't have him or Mauer in the lineup. So, but other than that, man, the American League, they series are really, really tough. But tomorrow night, man, the Braves going to shock them in. They're going to take game one, and then they're going to take game three and four here in Atlanta, man. It's going to be a wrap. We're going to be waiting on the Phillies next Saturday.
I think all the playoffs should be in baseball should be seven games. I mean, one reason why I'm saying Philly is so dominant is because in the best of five, they can run them three out and possibly win the first three. You know what I'm saying? It opens it up.
Right.
You got to beat us four times. Now now the Braves have a better chance. Now the Giants have a better chance when Philly got to throw that fourth man out there. You know what I'm saying? Or throw Holiday out there on 3-day rest or something like that. And try to get to win four games that way. Now I got a shot. But when you just best out of five, I really don't have a shot right now.
I like the five-game format for the first round because I want to get the pretenders gone. Let's go on get to the real nitty-gritty. Let's get the pretenders on out and go on get down to business.
I hate
basketball playoffs now because you got to see the five games just going to get them pretenders. You know the teams don't have a chance. It's going to get them out of there.
I can agree with basketball. But the thing in baseball, after the first round, you're at the National League Championship right now. You know what I'm saying?
But in
basketball, after the first round, you got a second round. Then you got the Eastern Tournament finally. We need to go ahead and shorten the first round. It's going to be best three out of five. But in baseball, it's only two rounds anyway. Go ahead and play them out, you know. Beat us four times. But,
yeah.
I mean, at the same time, I can't understand that. I can't understand what you got. I mean, I can dig that too.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you like this. Eventually, they're going to expand the baseball playoffs again. So, we need to go and keep this at five. So, we can go and get, like I say, Minnesota, we know they don't have a chance of winning. You know what I'm saying? I'm a Braves fan. I love the Braves. I just don't want to get embarrassed in the playoffs again.
I don't want to get embarrassed either, man. That's all, man. They're going to play hard.
I want them to play good. I don't want them to beat themselves. I want them to make whoever they play earn the win. Don't beat yourself. And play respectable. And stuff. Okay. So, five games, man, let's go on, get it done. Y'all get to the NLCS, ALCS, because we pretty much know who's going to be in the finals anyway. If something else happens, that's going to be like a surprise.
I kind of want to talk college football before we get out. College football, and then get some of y'all sports websites before we get out of here, man. We're already running over a little bit. As far as college football, how do y'all see this playing out, man? Is the Boise question even valid anymore, or is that just thrown to the wayside? Y'all see Bama rolling? What do y'all see out there? Oregon, who do y'all like out there to play in this? What I'm thinking might be one of the last BCS championship games.
Man, it's still early, man, but you got to like what you see out of Oregon, man. Alabama, that's a true squad, man.
they kind of whooped up on somebody this week, didn't they?
Yeah, man, no doubt, no question, man. I got to give it to them, man. I expected them to beat Florida. I mean, anybody who watched, you know, the games early on this year can see that, you know, Florida hasn't been performing up to, you know, standards that they set the past couple of years. So you expected Alabama to beat them, but I was just hoping them not to get embarrassed. But you see how that turned out. But Alabama, by far, best coach. They're the best coach. Their players look tremendously conditioned. All the guys on that team look pretty much strong. And the only question for them is, man, can that quarterback make plays when he needs to? Against Florida, he obviously has, but I don't know if he's going to be able to do that against everybody else because, eventually somebody's going to, you know, try to bottle that run up, and he's going to have to make some throws down the field to Julio Jones. And the second part of that equation is going to be can the defense hold up? They got a lot of young guys out there, and sometimes young guys are prone to mistakes. I mean, that's only two things, but they look like they're getting better as the season progresses. That offensive line is no joke. The running backs, we all know, it's been much talked about. But them and Oregon by far have been the two most impressive college football teams so far. You can say what you want to about Boise. They've been nice too, but they're not in these guys' league. Just as far as Oregon offensively, And Alabama, the whole team unit, I'm talking top to bottom, they've been the most impressive college football teams I've seen this year.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that one. Bama and Oregon, you say no love for Boise State from Barton.
I ain't saying no love, man. I just said, they ain't in their category, man. They right now. They're a good team, man, but They just ain't in that cow. You look at Virginia Tech, man. It's just not. You can't really give it to Boise State right now. Saying that, that's why they dropped in the polls, man. Because
James Madison beats V-Tech and kills their win, basically. Took a lot out of that. But yeah, he blocked.
Yeah, they're going to find a way to get Boise out of that. You see they dropped without even losing anyway, so they're going to find a way to get them out of there anyway. You knew it was coming. You knew they're not going to play for a championship this year. So it's going to be Alabama and somebody else. It's not going to be Boise State, I know that. Yeah, but, Alabama just playing on a whole nother level, man. The thing that surprising me is not surprising me and not surprising me at all, but the running back. Ingram. Mark Ingram, man. He's just like to I mean, last year it was like you had him win the Heisman when really it wasn't too much really other talent out there. You know, you really didn't know who was going to win the Heisman, even though he was a great player or whatever. But this year it's like he's trying to come out and show y'all that I'm really a Heisman Trophy winner. He busting big runs, stuff he wasn't even doing last year, just taking it to a whole nother level, showing that I am better than that. And then, right. I mean, that's a back-to-back Heisman, man. I think we're going to see it.
Well, I doubt we see that back-to-back Heisman only because there's a quarterback in Michigan who's putting up 500 yards a game by itself. You cannot win the Heisman when you're doing that. I understand.
You can't win the Heisman when you win lose three games either.
Well, I mean, right now he's on
the
field.
Tebow won the Heisman, and they lost four games that year.
Yeah, I mean,
he had the right complexion for doing the Heisman with three losses.
I'm saying he's on the field right now.
The precedent's been set, though. They can't.
Yeah.
I mean, if Denard Robinson keeps putting out these kind of numbers,
yeah, exactly.
The precedent's been set.
He got to keep putting them up. I mean, just like
he's
got to keep
putting them up.
He doing any Heisman candidate got to keep doing what they doing. So as far as right now, Michigan undefeated, and the man putting up down there 500 yards a week. So he number one right now. He gonna got a ton of hell. The backup running back was doing the same thing. So if that's gonna kind of hurt Ingram in the end, it's because Richardson was in there and they really didn't fall off. And the fact that Denard Robinson is putting up big numbers. I mean, I like Alabama. At the end of the day, is Alabama or Ohio State? Probably Ohio State going undefeated. Then they in there. If Oregon go undefeated and Ohio State lose one, they in there. If Oklahoma go undefeated and Ohio State and Oregon lose one, then they in there. At the end, beginning of the season, what I think the voters try to do is give Boise a shot to get in there. Boise, at the end of the day, if all those teams play well, Boise don't deserve a shot because they don't play the schedule that those guys play. Boise can beat any team on any given day. You put them up against Alabama today, and Boise can win that game. But if they have to play Alabama today, Florida tomorrow, Arkansas the next, no, they will not go undefeated when they're playing that type of schedule. So and that's the same thing if they had to play Oregon State this week, Oregon, then you got to play Stanford, then you got to play Arizona State. You're not going to go undefeated in that conference. So that's why they don't deserve to be national championship material unless it's a season where Alabama lose two games, Oklahoma lost, Oregon lost, Ohio State lost, and Boise State was the only undefeated team. Yeah, then you put them in there, and that's the only shot they got.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think they deserve to be in there either. Cowboy fan Jay.
Well, I think Oregon did what they needed to do. Was they had an impressive win over Stanford, and they jumped Boise. Now Boise is pretty much where they should be, probably number 4, 5, 6 in the country. Where they probably be.
Dang, you're breaking up.
Hello?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, boy. I hear some noise in the background.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Well, Oregon, they had an impressive performance. What I saw, it looked like Oregon are the two teams to me, barring injuries or anything, I think those two should probably be in the final.
Okay.
Those were like the two most impressive teams to me.
Okay, there you go. It's clear. Back up. That thing was going crazy for a second. Truth,
yeah.
You still in here?
Yeah, the truth is still in the house, man. All
right.
The truth is still in the house. The way I see it is, Alabama has the best team in football. I think we have one of the best teams. They have one of the toughest schedules. They're the defending national champions. Even if they lose a game, if they can still get in there and win the SEC championship, which is going to be a giveaway, they'll probably see Florida again in the SEC championship game, which they're going to wallow those guys. If they might see South Carolina finally defeat Florida, and they'll still wallow those guys. I think the only team, Oregon, I think Oregon is one of the most impressive teams, too. I like what Oregon is doing. Ohio State will probably go undefeated. I don't see anyone beating them.
What Auburn got for Alabama? What do you think Auburn got for Alabama?
I think it'll be a good game, but Alabama is going to be at, they're going to be at the point where, you know, they're going to be undefeated. They're going to be, I mean, I think it's at Auburn this year. If I'm not mistaken.
Where they playing at? Auburn had them beat last year.
Yeah,
they got a better quarterback this year. I mean, they look real nice, man, but I'm not going to go ahead and say that they're going to take it, but.
Hey, if Cam Newton think he's going to do that George Jefferson shuffling around stuff, though, he's going to get knocked the hell out, though, man.
Cam Newton's like 6'6", 260, man.
I know, but still.
I mean, he's as big as Dante Hightower. He's bigger than Dante Hightower.
That's what we said with Tebow last year when he was throwing up on the sideline, man.
Yeah, but that was a blindside hit, dog.
I mean, it is what it is, man.
I mean, if Cam Newton see it coming, man, I don't see nobody knocking him out, man. That's a big dude.
That is a big dude, though. Shout out to Alabama coming down the side. From Florida and bringing their program back to where it needs to be. I love to see Florida losing like this. Got to say that. What up, Margie?
Hey, man, everybody like to see winners lose eventually, right? Florida has been doing their share of winning.
It's all good, man. You talk so much when y'all's winning. I got to say something when y'all lose.
I know it's expected, man.
But yo, we're finna get out of here, man. But before we go, I wanted to get just some sports websites from you guys for all any sports fan listening, man. I wanted y'all to give them a website that you go to when you log on in the morning or evening, whatever you do it. Just a site for somebody to check out, man. I'm going to throw out therookiewall.com. It's an NBA site. They pretty much follow all NBA rookies extensively all year. Pretty good sports site to check out, though, man. Just want to get a couple from y'all. If it's a well-known site, it's cool. Just throw one out there, man. But
I like CBSSportsLine.com.
Okay, CBS Sportsline.
Yeah.
Just throw one out there.
ESPN.com, that's my spot.
Are you going to go with the four letter? Okay,
that's right.
Yes, ESPN.
That's right.
Hey, man, it's BleacherReport.com. That's all day, every day, man. Anybody hasn't visited that site yet, a sporting fan, a big-time sporting fan, go to that site, man. A lot of interesting stuff on there, man.
That's what's up. And Naughty?
What's
are we lost,
on?
Naughty?
Yeah. I represent it for him, man, TNSP Sportsnet.
That's what's up, TNSP Sportsnet. That's Naughty's site. Got a lot of interviews and videos on there. Eastside, you throw one up?
That's what I just gave you. I went on and gave you for him, man.
Okay.
NFP.
Okay, that's what's up, man. Appreciate y'all spending the time coming on, man. We had a lot of folks and we was mad disorganized today, but it's all good, man. We got some information out there for the people listening. But either way, man. Appreciate y'all coming on, man, and come through next time, man. We'll put it down again.
All right, I appreciate you, Kevin.
All right, man.
How you doing?
All right. Y'all be easy.
All right, y'all.
All right. Yep. Later.